All right, we'll say good morning, a good chodesh, a welcome. All right, so today's daf is daf Yud Dalit. We're actually going to start, as I put up on the WhatsApp yesterday, we're going to start on the top of Yud Dalit, four lines down from the top, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer. So we'll say our shir this morning and the shiurim this month. For the month of Kislev, are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen and Hinda bas Henoch Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah that their neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. We also dedicate our learning in the zechus of Shina Bracha bas Shoshana Viva, in the hope that she, together with all of us, should have incredible mazel over the course of this coming month. All right, the boss said, let's begin. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer. So remember, again, we've been focusing on the various shitos based on the beginning Mishnah of the third parak, regarding, again, which situations, which circumstances one receives malchus. Specifically, again, in situations of chayve krisos. When a person does something that makes them chayiv kares, so is there a din of malchus or not? So already we find ourselves in the midst of a three-way machlokes. So today, we're focusing on the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, we'll say four lines down from the top. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer. Rabbi Yitzchak says the following. Chayvi krisos bichlal hoyu. We'll say, in general, when we say chayvi krisos bichlal, it means the Torah made a blanket statement when it came to those who were chayiv kares. V'lama yotza kares bacho. So we'll say, why does the Torah single out the prohibition of kares when it ultimately comes to one's sister? In other words, we'll say that the Torah discusses chayvi krisos in general statements, but yet the Torah then singles out one who has relations with his sister as a chayiv kares. Why is she singled out? So the Gemara says, lama yotza kares bacho. So, ladona bakares v'lo b'malkus. To teach you that she is only chayiv, to teach me that in that situation, one is chayiv kares and not malchus. Now, also understand, once you single out achoso, what the Gemara then does, Rabbi Yitzchak then does, is isolates from that a principle. The principle is that any time that you are chayiv kares, you will not be chayiv malchus. Take a look at Rashi Lachalik. Rashi says over here, Rabbanan say kares b'achos olamli. So Rabbanan say, why is it that we single out kares by a sister lechalik? We'll say ultimately again lechalik. What does that mean? Could Rabbi Yochanan? Dumb Rabbi Yochanan learns about say shim asan kulam behelam echad chayiv akol echad ve'akol alachas ve'achas. So we'll say, what does it mean lechalik? So lechalik means, let's say a man has relations with multiple women, all whom are chiyuv kares. But again, we'll say, Ha'alam Echad means what? In one lapse of awareness. What does it mean, one lapse of awareness? Right? So, what does it mean? In one lapse of awareness. We'll say, what it means is, again, he doesn't know that it's prohibited. Meaning, one lapse of awareness means he engages in all of these. There's no sidebars on this one over here. There's no sidebars on this. Avron, can you switch seats? Right? So there's the idea. Lapse of awareness means he just doesn't know that these unions are prohibited. Look at Rashi for just a moment. L'chalik, we'll say, on Rashi on top, fourth line down from the top, last wide line. L'fi, Shakala kol ha'arayos b'karis achos. Because we'll say, in general, again, when the Torah is grouping all of the arayos, all of the arayos are grouped under one umbrella lab. So the Gemara says, b'karis achos, ha'yisi omer imasan kula mehele echad, eno chayiv ela achos. So we'll say, the fact that all of the chiyuve karis are mentioned together under one umbrella lav, I would have thought that what that teaches me is what? That if I were to violate multiple prohibitions, in other words, I were to engage in multiple illicit unions, since it's all mentioned under one umbrella lav, I would have thought that what? That there's only one prohibition, there's only one chiv karis, in that case, lekach, yotza karis b'achosa lechalik. Here's the limud. Just like achoso, just like sister is singled out, she erva v'chayev ala afila b'fne'atzma, av kol she erva chayev ala b'fne'atzma. So the Rabbanon understand that the Torah singles out Kares Bachoso, to teach you that if a man were to violate multiple illicit unions, each of them having their own chiyuv kares, that you would be chayiv for each one. Rabosa, you say to yourself, well, what does it matter if you're chayiv kares once or you're chayiv kares 25 times? So we'll say again, if you hold ultimately again that there's malchus for kares, then ultimately again that makes a very big distinction. Why? Because although you can only get kares once, you can get malchus multiple times. So that's why Rabbi Yitzchok, now you understand what the kishkas of this machlokas. So Rabbi Yitzchok ultimately says that we use achoso to teach me what? We use achoso to teach me that just like achoso is only kares and not malchus, so to again, any chi of kares is only kares and not malchus. What do the Rabbanon do with the singling out of Achoso? They use a different drasha. They say the Torah comes along and singles out Achoso to teach you that every single Chiyuv Kares is reckoned separately. For what purpose? That if you go out and you violate multiple Chiyuve Kares Behelam Echad in one lapse of awareness, that Aloch HaLamayis, again, you are judged individually for each of those. Now remember, the Rabbanon are coming to from the vantage point that what? That if you go out and you violate the Chiyuv Kares, you do get Malkus. So we'll say, that's the case, then lemais again, if you violate multiple chiyuve kares, you will get multiple sets of malchus for each infraction. Rabbi Yitzchak, lechalik minale. How does Rabbi Yitzchak know that ultimately, again, we look at each individual chiyuv kares on its own, and we do not group them together, even if one violated them behe'lam echad in one lapse of awareness? Where does he get this? From nafkalei meve'el isha benidas tumasa. The pasuk says, Rabosai, the pasuk says, Ve'el isha benidas tumasa lo sikrav legalos ervasa. I'll call isha v'isha. It was interestingly enough, the Torah phrases this in the singular. And to a woman in her nida state, again, literally it means you shall not come close, but ultimately what it means, legalos ervasa, you should not engage in relations. So nida is an example, ultimately, again, of one of the arayos, one of the prohibited illicit unions. And therefore, again, the Torah explicitly says to a woman, singular, you shall not have relations with her when she's in nida. Why the singularity of this love? To teach you that I'm chayiv for every single individual act. Why don't Rabbanan learn it out from here as well? To which the Gemara says, Inachinami, you're right. The Rabbanan could also learn it out from Elisha benidas tumaso lo sikrav. The Ela kares da'choso lamali. So if that's the case, that the Rabbanan could also learn out, Rabbanan said, that you treat every single chi of kares on its own. Meaning, even if there are multiple acts committed behelam echad, they're still each of them judged on their own. So, therefore, again, if you tell me that he could learn that out from Elisha benidas tumasal the sikrav, so then what do we do? What do the Rabbanan ultimately do with achoso? The Rabbanan say bechlemiha enachinami. Okay, the Rabbanan will agree with Rabbi Yitzchak that you can learn out from Elisha benidas tumasal. Then ve'alakaris ba'achoso lamali. So then, what do the Rabbanan need the karis ba'achoso to do? Why single out achoso? What does that teach me? Lechayvo al achoso va'al achos aviv, bless you, va'al achos imo. Rabbi said to teach me that what? That I am chayiv for, if man has relations with his sister, he is chayiv ultimately again, whether she is his paternal sister or his maternal sister, or whether he is the sister of his mother and his father. That you're chayiv for sister in all variations. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi said, now the chap over here is the following. Chap over here is, let's say there's a man who behelam echad has relations with three women. One is his paternal sister, one is his maternal sister, one is his complete sister, right? And I will say this all happens, it was a long day, right? Behelam echad. This all happens ultimately again in one lapse of awareness to teach. Wow is right. Well said, right? By the way, it's going to get even better, right? Or worse, I should say, or worse, right? So I'll say, so all of this happens again, behelam echad. One lapse of awareness that to teach me that I'm chayiv, for both say, I'm chayiv for each of these women individually. To which the Gemara says, pshita. Now that's obvious. I will say, if a man has relations with three women, one who is his full sister, one who is paternal sister, one who is his maternal sister, so of course he's going to be chayiv three times. After all, hare gufin michulakin, hare shemos michulakin. I will say, they're three different women, and also interestingly enough, what does it mean shemos michulakin? There are three different prohibitions. In other words, there are three different identities. One is a full sister, and two are half-sisters, and each of the half-sisters are halves from different sides. So what's the havamin that you only be chayiv once for relations with all three of these women. To which the Gemara is supposed to listen to this. So, I'm sorry. Hari guf mechulakin, hari shamas mechulakin, ela, listen to this. L'chaivo ala choso. Rather, I will say, what it's coming to teach me is the following. L'chaivo ala choso, shehi achos aviv, she achos imo. Rather, I will say, what the Torah is coming to teach me is if a man has relations with one woman, who is, on one hand, his full sister and his half-sister, from his mother's side and from his father's side, that he's going to be chayiv three times. I will say, how can you possibly come up with a case like that? Vechi mishkachos lo, birishia barishia. With the Rasha, the son of a Rasha. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So listen to this. The Gemara says, birishia barishia, here's the case. It's almost right across. Habo al imo. So I will say, this begins with a man who has relations with his mother. What happens? Vaholid shte banos. He has two daughters with his mother. Vichazer uba al achas mehen. Then again, the man has relations with one of the daughters he fathered with his mother. So essentially, he fathers another child with his daughter slash sister. Uba al achas mehen, vaholid ben. So this man, Abosai, who again produced two daughters with his mother, then has relations with one of those daughters, one of the girls who's the offspring from that union, they have a son. Uba haben al achos imo. And then what happens? The son has relations with his mother's sister. Now his mother's sister also. Let's read Rashi. Uba ben al achos imo, she achoso va achos aviv. Now, both say, as it turns out, when this son has relations with his mother's sister, it's not only his mother's sister, but it's also his sister and also the sister of his father. It's like West Virginia over here. Right? So the Gemara says, Rishia Barashia. So we'll say, the idea over here is that what the Gemara will say, just understand, this obviously is a crazy case. What the Gemara is trying to come up with is the following. Is a situation where a man has relations with one woman, but that one woman has multiple halachic identities. So we'll say, the case over here is, again, you'll work it out through Rashi again, but the case over here is, you have a man who's having relations with one woman, who is his sister, who is also, again, his father's sister, who was also the sister of his mother and the sister of his father. So we'll say, the idea over here is, this is one, so it's one act of relations that's triggering all of these prohibitions. So what the Gemara is now saying is, how do I know that I'm chayiv for each of the prohibited identities? In other words, even though there's only one act of relations, but that one act of relations ultimately, again, triggers multiple illicit unions. So how do I know that I'm going to be chayiv for each of the individual illicit unions? So we learn that out ultimately, again, from the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to isolate the prohibition of achoso, that is kares by achoso, by one sister. Torah could have just left that under the general umbrella, ultimately, again, of kares bearing prohibitions. The fact that it's singled out achoso tells you that whenever you engage in illicit unions, you are chayiv for each union individually. The chiddush is that even if each of those identities are contained within the same person, you will still be chayiv for each of those prohibitions. Rabbi Yitzchak, Hamanale. So we'll say, where does Rabbi Yitzchak know this from? Nafkale mikavachomer. We'll say, listen to this. He learns that from a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? This sanya. Am Rabbi Akiva. Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yoshua. Be'itlis shalim We'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi Akiva says, I asked the Rabbi Akiva, Sha'altis Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, Brit Hashem. So we'll say Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, where is in the Itlis of Imum. What's Itlis? Rashi says, Makom Shemochrin Habasar B'makulin. This is interesting. So this is where they go ahead and they sell the meat. Now makulin are staffs. What this is like a meat warehouse. Not like the supermarket. This is where you go to buy meat in bulk. Why are they going, right, the warehouse? Why are they going to buy meat in bulk? Listen to this. Shebohu likach behema lemishte binosh Rabbi Gamliel. The Bosei Rabbi Gamliel was making a chasana for his son. He was making a chasana. And this is such a beautiful image. Rabbi Gamliel takes his chav Rabbi Yeshua. Just like, can you imagine this? They're going shopping for the wedding together. Right? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are in the meat market. Mamish in the meat market to purchase meat ultimately for the chasana of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. And I will say, what happens? Who bumps into them? Rabbi Akiva. The Bosei, what do they start talking about? Haba alachoso, she achos aviv, she achos imo, mau. So also you have to understand something. So now, understand, Rabbi Akiva bumps into the two Gedolei Hadar, he has some unresolved shilas, he's got to ask them. Now we'll say, either in the middle of shopping for meat for Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding, he's got to ask them, right, Rabbi, what's the halacha? Haba alachoso, she achos imo, mau. What happens if a man has relations with his sister, who is the sister from his father, the sister of his mother? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Chayiv, so he asked, Chayiv al kulon, Eino Chayiv al kulon el achos, O Chayiv al kol achas va achas. As we'll say, what Rabbi Akiva was asking Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua was, if a man has relations with a woman and she has multiple halachic identities and he has relations with her, is he only Chayiv once for one act of relations, or is he chayiv for every prohibited identity which she contains? So they said, Amrulo, they said to him, Zuloshana, the truth is we don't know the answer to this case. About Shamanu, but we did hear the following. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, tried to answer from the following case. What's the following case? Haboa chamesh noshim nidos behelam echad. Both say, let's say a man has relations with five women, all of whom are nidos. They'll say five individual women, behelam echad. They'll say in one lapse of awareness. What does it mean, one lapse of awareness? He didn't know that it's prohibited to have relations with a woman who is a nido. So again, they'll say, by the way, you understand that when we say behelam echad, you know, we have this image. Well, don't have any images, but we have this image. We have this idea, this conception that this is all happening at once. Understand, behelam echad can mean a man didn't know that relations with the nida are prohibited. I'll say, it could be that he didn't know this for 5 years, for 10 years. Meaning he didn't know the halacha. He didn't know the halacha. He's not a married man. So he didn't know the halacha. So whatever the halam is, the halam could be a prolonged period of time. The point is, during that period of time where he did not know that a woman who is a nida is asura, he has relations with multiple women who are nidos. Okay, then what happens? So Abba Chamish Hashem nidos pelam echad, shechayiv akol achas va'achas, Sir Begamil and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Akiva, listen, Akiva, I don't know what we didn't hear anything about the halacha of a woman who is a half sister from the mother, a half sister from the father. We didn't hear any of those halachas, but a woman who has multiple identities. What we did hear is that if a man has relations with five women who are all midos, what's the halacha? Shechayiv akol achas va'achas. That is chayiv, Rabbi, say, for what? For every single act of relations. Even though, again, they're all occurring in one period of knowledgelessness. Ignorance, thank you, that's a much better word, right? Of halachic ignorance, even though they're all occurring in one period of halachic ignorance, nevertheless, again, you're chayiv for every single one. Veneer and Tvarmi Kavachomer. And Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua say, we can make a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Uma Nida, Shehim Shem Echad, Chayiv Akol Achos Va'Akos. And we'll say, you know, Nida is one prohibition. He's violating the same prohibition multiple times. Yet what? And again, all in the same lapse of awareness, all in the same period of ignorance. Yet what? He's going to be chayiv for each and every one. So kan shlesho shleshemos lo kol shekin. We'll say here in this case, where although it's one woman, but she has three different distinct prohibited identities. In other words, one act of relations triggers three prohibitions. I would certainly assume that what? That he's going to be chayiv three times. So we'll say the other opinion will say, v'idach kavachomer pirchui. Other people will say, it's not a good kavachomer. Manida shekin gufin mechulakin. See, Rabbi will say, here's the difference. As much as nida is one prohibition, but in this case, what's happening? It's five different women. So I'll say, even though it's the same prohibition, I could hear why, even though it's the same isser of nida, it's five different women. It's five. Gufin mechulaki means five distinct bodies. In other words, it's clearly five different averos. The fact that it happens to be the same avero, the same issue that he's violating, doesn't change the fact that it's five different women, five distinct entities. However, again, malinidish came gufin mechulakin. The other opinion will say, you're right. It is kavachomer pircha, meaning it is a broken kavachomer. However, elanaf galei me'achosa de'seifa. But I will say, we can still learn it out. Ultimately, again, there is an extra achoso in the end of that pasuk. I will say, just to understand how this pasuk reads, if you have the Torah R on the side of your Gemara, you can see it. I will say, the way the pasuk reads is, v'ish asher yikach es achoso, bas avivo basimo, v'ra es ervasa, v'hisir es ervaso, chesed hu, v'nichrusu le'enei b'nei amam, ervas achoso gila. both say there's an extra achoso at the end of the pasuk. What does that extra achoso teach me? So the Gemara is saying the extra achoso teaches me that every single iser kares is reckoned on its own. I'm going to use the word own merit, but you know, I'm not using that word correctly. It's reckoned on its own. That even if a person violates multiple prohibitions of kares, each one is still looked at and it's on its own, and therefore he's judged or he's held liable for each one on its own. So the Gemara says, Lidach achoso de seif alamali, lechaiva al achoso bas aviv ubas imo. We'll say this other opinion, we'll say, no, I need that achoso at the end of the pasuk. Why? To teach me that I'm chayiv ultimately again for a full sister. In the beginning of the pasuk, the Torah just reckons a sister who's my maternal sister, or a sister who is my paternal sister, but doesn't necessarily teach me about the sister who's a full sister. Therefore, again, the achosu at the end of the pasuk comes to teach you that I'm chayiv even for a full sister. What do we learn from that? Lomar shin onshin min adin. Rabosai, this teaches me that again, I cannot. We've seen this concept in onshin min adin. Rabosai means that you cannot punish someone based on a Kal v'chomer. If you're going to go ahead and punish someone for some type of infraction, you have to have a pasuk that supports that assertion. Therefore, again, as much as I could have made a Kal v'chomer, that says what? Madoch, if a sister from my father is an Isser Kares, and if a sister from my mother is an Isser Kares, then what? Then what? Certainly a full sister for my father and mother would be an Isser Kares. But in Oshman, we don't punish people based on Kal v'chomers. Right? If you're going to put someone death, you're going to give someone Kares, that has to come from a Furusha Pasuk. So the second Achos from the Pasuk comes to teach that even a full sister. Ibai Sema, Gamra Onesh Mi'asara. They both say, so one possibility. V'idach, what would the other opinion say? Gamra Onesh Mi'asara. They both say, perhaps we could go ahead and we could learn out the Onesh, the punishment, from the love. In other words, they both say that even though we have two psukim, one for the onesh, one from the ashara, I could learn out the onesh from the ashara. V by sema, we'll say the other possibility is amad beis, v by sema, nafkalei, I could learn it out, me achoso dereisha. I could learn out from achoso in the beginning of the pasuk. Look at Rashi, me achoso dereisha, dematzi lemichtov, kiyikach es bas aviv o bas imo. Because I didn't have to say the word achoso. It could have just said if a man has relations with the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. But the fact that it says the word achoso ultimately again teaches me what? That we're singling out achoso to say that achoso, that was just like achoso, if you have relations with her, ultimately again you will get kares. So too again, any, and even if she triggers multiple kares prohibitions, you will be chayiv for each and every one. So too in every situation of kares, you are chayiv for each individual prohibition. To which the Gemara says, "V'idach homi bali lechalik." One second, that first achoso. The other opinion will say, "No." That will say that achoso ultimately teaches me that halacha lemaisa, I am chayiv for each individual chiyuv kares. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "V'idach hahimi bali lechalik lekares lemefatim ulesach." That will say this is very interesting. Others, the other opinion will say that additional inclusion of the word achoso comes to teach me the need to be mechalik prohibitions, I will say, in a totally unrelated situation. What situation, I will say? The case of mefateh usach. I will say the halacha is that one is not permitted to go ahead and recreate either the ketores or the shemen hamishcha, right, anointing oil, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if I go ahead and I recreate oil, shemen hamishcha, outside of the Beis HaMikdash? So I will say there are two different prohibitions. There's the prohibition, mefatim. I will say mefatim literally means to make it. And sach means to what? To use it. So I will say, how do I know that if I make it and I use it, I'm chayiv two different times, one for making it and one for using it? So I will say, interestingly enough, this one opinion holds that I learn it out from the extra achoso by kares. I will say, there's an extra achoso by kares. And if I don't need, there's an extra achoso by achoso. If I don't need that achoso there to teach me that I'm mechalik in dinei kares, so if I don't need it there, then what? I could apply it to this other case. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It says the second Rashi from the top. L'mefatim v'sach, d'havinami shnei lavin v'kares echad. We'll say this is a case, as we're going to see, of two prohibitions, but only one mentioning of kares. V'hotzrach lana lechalik b'neim, kimosh hotzrach chilik ba'arayos. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that there's a kind of like, there's a general common denominator or a general connection between all chiyuvei kares. And therefore what? If I have an extra word and I don't need it in this context, I could apply it to a different Chiyuv Karis. So where it's standing right now, I will say, at least according to one opinion, I have an extra achoso out there. I've got an extra achoso. I don't need it in the context of a sister. Why? Because in the context of a sister, I've already established that I'm chayiv for each individual Chiyuv Karis, even, by the way, if what? Even if those individual prohibitions are contained within the same person. Now I have an extra achoso out there. So where am I going to use it? If I don't need it by achoso, I'm going to use it ultimately again by the case of mafatim and sachar. We're going to see that inside for just a moment. V'idach sevel k'rab elazar. I'm Rav Oshia. I'm Rav Elazar. I'm Rav Oshia. Kamakom shata motzei shnei lavim dekareis echad. Anytime you see two prohibitions, but only one mentioning of kareis, chalukin hein lekarbon. Rav Oshia said, I can still go ahead and assume that they are separate and distinct in terms of their chiyuv karbon. Or as I said, that even though if I have two prohibitions, but there's only one chiyuv kares mentioned, I could assume that that one chiyuv kares devolves upon both those prohibitions, and therefore in the case of I'm chayiv karbon, each will get their own karbon. V'bay seima, lo savar lo k'reb elazar, v'naf galei me v'ish asher yishkav es isha dava. But the other possibility is, he doesn't hold the k'reb elazar. And where does he learn it out from? He learns it out from the pasuk of Ish Asher Yishkav Es Isha Dava. That if a man will go ahead and have relations with a woman who is in nida, v'idach, but the other opinion is saying, Ahumi Bailei Lichid Rabbi Yochanan. Vem Rabbi Yochanan Mishom Yishma Yochai. Minayin Shein Isha Tmei Atshiyetze Madve Derech Ervasa. They will say, so again, we're just going back and forth, trying to figure out ultimately what is everyone doing with these respective psukim. What is everyone doing with these psukim? So again, the way we end off this sugya is with a halacha from a woman who is a nida. So one opinion learns out that we could use this pasuk ultimately to teach you about a chiyuv kares. The other opinion says, no, I use this pasuk teaching about a din in hilchos nida. What's the din in hilchos nida? Minayin shein isha tmeya ad sheyetze madveh derech ervasa. But say, how do I know that a woman only becomes a nida if what? If the menstrual flow exits her body derech ervasa, through the opening of her erva. Where do I know that from? We'll say, now what does it mean through the opening of the erva? Where else is it coming out? Where else is it coming out from? So we'll say, this is actually an interesting halacha, which actually could have potential ramifications. Let's say a woman has an incision in her abdomen, and their uterine blood ultimately again comes out through her abdomen, which could happen when? A C-section. So we'll say, this actually has halacha lamaisa ramifications. So how do I know that even if uterine blood comes out of the abdomen but doesn't come out of the derech erva, that she's not a nida? Where do I know that from? Shene emar v'ish asher yishkav es isha dava v'gilas ervasa melamed shene isha tmeya ad sheyetze mi derech ervasa. We'll say, ultimately again, it teaches me that what? That a woman is only becomes a nida only if uterine blood comes out ultimately again derech ervasa, from the normal natural entry point of her erva, of the body. But ultimately again, if what we call dam nida exits from other ways of the body, it would not necessarily make her a nida. Now I will say, now again, in general, interestingly enough, so C-sections have their own complications in ilchos nida. See, we assume in general that once a woman ultimately goes into labor, or once a woman delivers a baby, that there is some blood that ultimately must come out derech ervasa. Technically speaking, if there were to be no blood that were to come out, then all of the dam nida were to come out from an incision in the abdomen, not derech ervasa. So technically, a woman would not become a nida. Halachically, we generally consider that to be impossible. So therefore, again, usually women will always come a nida. But again, on a technical level, if it's not enough for it to be uterine blood, it has to be uterine blood that comes out derech ervasa to make her a nida. So what do we come out with from this sugya? So first of all, again, we come out with this interesting piece in Hilchos Nida. Just so you understand, also the Rambam discussing this idea in the case of Haba Chamesh Nashim. So just there are a couple of cases of interesting halacha lemaisa over here, which is that number one, if a man does have relations with five women, all of whom are nidos, behelam echad, with one, we'll call it one lapse of awareness, or one period of ignorance. He doesn't know that it's aser. He will be chayiv for each and every one of those prohibitions. Then I both say, now, I'll tell you something interesting. This is as opposed to, we're not against this. So we'll see, okay, we'll actually get into this in Maseches Nida, a lot of interesting ramifications of this case. But he will be chayiv ultimately, again, five times. Why? Because of Gufin Mechulakin, even though he's violating the same prohibition over and over and over, and it's the same lapse of awareness, it will be chayiv five times. Furthermore, if a man has relations with a woman, who is his half-sister, his full-sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister, whatever it is, right, all of these identities contained in one woman, he will be chayiv for all of those prohibitions. Even though it's only one act of relations. I will say, but there's also an important lesson that comes from this. You know, the Tosas brings down, Tosas and Krisos brings down this episode. Remember, where does this whole discussion take place? Rabbi Akiva engages Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua in the meat market, right? He engages them while they're shopping in the shuk. So Tosfos Rabbi Yosef Maseches Krisos says something beautiful for all of you. Why does the Gemara tell us that this conversation took place in the supermarket, in the shuk? Why do they need to tell us that? So Tosfos says, Lahodia Shivachon, Sha'afa Pi Shahayu Trudin, Beis Askos Vas Vachanos Lasiv Nosh Rabbi Gamliel, even though the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua were there for the purpose of purchasing provisions for the wedding, Hayu Oskin B'divrei Torah. We'll say an incredible, incredible idea. That even though they were shopping, I will say a Jew, a Yid, is always involved in Torah. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You know, again, Rabbi Gamliel would have had every right to say, Akiva, now, do we have to do this now? Right? Do we have this? Can you call me tomorrow? Right? We'll talk about this later on. Right? And first of all, say, you know, again, you ever been to the shuk? You ever been to the shuk? The shuk is not exactly the kind of place where you could carry on a meaningful and deep and sustained conversation. There's a lot going on there. Rabbi Gamliel would have been within his right, ultimately, again, to say this is not the right place. We'll say, for Torah, it's always the right place. And for Torah, it's always the right time. And the Musar ultimately for us, Rabbi Yosef, is the need to bring in Torah to every aspect of our existence. Whether I'm in the supermarket, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at the ball, wherever it is, the idea is that the greatest accomplishment in life is if Torah enters in, if Torah pervades every arena of your existence, that's a successful spiritual life. Okay, the Gemara goes right to Rabbi Yosef. V'tami shachal asakolish. Let's just finish up this sugya. The Tamei Shachal HaKodesh. Let's remember again. Tamei Shachal HaKodesh was someone who is Tamei, who eats sacrificial food items. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? He's Chayiv Kares. He is Chayiv Kares, and he gets Malkus. So Bishlam HaBala Mikdash Tamei. So we'll say, if somebody enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, so remember again, you get Kares, and you also get Malkus. This is reflecting the opinion who says that any time you chayiv kares, you also get malchus. So Rabbi Yosef, ksiv onesh, ksiv hazarav, because Rabbi Yosef, entering into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, it says both the onesh and the azara, it says both the punishment as well as the warning. Onesh dechsiv, es mikdash Hashem timei v'nichrasa. Pasuk says, you have defiled the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, and you will be cut off. V'lo azara, the warning is, v'lo yitamu es machameyem. But if somebody is Tameh and they eat sacrificial items, or Kodesh, it doesn't have to be sacrificial items, it could be any Kodesh item as we'll see. How do I know that there's Chiyuv Kares? And Malkus, Bishlama Onesh, we'll say first white line, Bishlama Onesh, Ksiv, Vanefesh, Asher Tocha, Basar, Mizerach, Ashlam, Asher, Lashem, V'tumasar, Lov, V'nichrusa. So it's quite in the first pasuk that ultimately, again, a person who will eat of sacrificial meat from the Shlamim, V'tumas Olav, and he is Tameh, V'nichrusa, he gets Kares. We'll say, where do I see the warning? Remember again, I need both the Ashara and the Onesh. So where is the warning? Minayin. Reish Lakish Amar, Bechol Kodesh, Losiga. Reish Lakish is out from the Pasuk of, you may not touch any Kodesh. Now we'll say, as we're going to see in just a little bit, so according to Reish Lakish, Siga can't just mean touch. Rather, again, what it means is consumption. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Tani Bardula, Asya Tumaso Tumaso. What's to make a Gzer Shava? What's a Gzer Shava? Ksiv Hacha. It says by the case of a Tame person who eats Kodesh. V'tumaso ala v'nichrisa. O Ksiv Hassam. And it says over there by one who enters into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tuma. Tame Yehye Od Tumaso Bo. Ma lahalon Onesh Vazhara. Just like over there, both say there's both an Onesh and Ashara. Afkan Onesh Vazhara. So to over here, we also say we essentially make the Gzer Shava and we apply the Onesh and Hazara here as well. Bishlam Reish Lakish Lomak Rabbi Yochanan. I understand Reish Lakish Lomak Rabbi Yochanan. Why not? Because Gzeira Shava Lo Gamir. Because he just doesn't hold the Gzeira Shava. In other words, for Gzeira Shava, you have to have a Mesorah that the Gzeira Shava exists. So Rekish Lakish doesn't have that Mesorah, therefore he doesn't have the Gzeir Shava. And then Rabbi Yochanan might have no Rekish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan have no Rekish Lakish? Amr Lecha, Hahu Azhar L'Truma. Oh, because Rabbi Yochanan will say that Lav, that B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, that Rish Lakish quoted, is in fact, Rabbi will say, not an Azhara for Kodesh, but rather what? An Azhara for Truma. An Azhara for Truma. So where does Rish Lakish learn out the prohibition that you can't eat truma in a state of tuma? Nafgalei miish ish mizera aron v'utzarua ozav. Both say the pasuk says ish ish, any man from the offspring of Aaron, if he's a tsarua, if he has saras, or if he's a zav. So what's the halacha? So bakodshim lo yochal adashar yita. He can't eat from kodesh until he becomes pure. Tanakia b'chol tamei nefesh o ish shetizin shivazera. So listen to this. Ezu davar shu shal b'zaro shal aron. Now, interestingly enough, the pasuk here is referring to something that zaro shal aron. Ish ish mizera aron means any person who is an offspring of Aaron is permitted to eat it. What is something that everyone who is an offspring of Aaron? Both say, when we say everyone, who does everyone include? Everyone includes men and women. What is something who everyone who is part of the offspring of Aaron is permitted to eat? Havi Omer Zet Truma. Oh, Rav said we know that halacha is that Truma is permitted for consumption by all members of the Kohanic family, including women. The Idach Hahi La'achila V'Hal Negiyo. Oh, Rav said, listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, but there are two different prohibitions. One is to teach you that if you are tamei, you cannot eat truma. And the other is to teach you that if you are tamei, you cannot touch truma. Reish Lakish, hai b'chol kodesh lo siga, lahachi uda'asa. Reish Lakish is, but one second. Is that what that pasuk comes to teach me? Ha'hu mi boile le tamei shenaga b'kodesh. That we need that pasuk to teach me about a tamei who comes and touches something. Right, a tamei, a person who is tamei, who touches something that is kodesh, to itmar, tamei shenaga b'kodesh. If someone who is tamei teaches something that is kodosh, so ultimately, you know, Reish Lakish omer loke, Reish Lakish says, listen to this. Reish Lakish says, you get malchus for touching something that is kodesh. The Rebbe says, now that's quite traumatic. Now what happens if you are tamei, you touch something that's kodesh? So the thing becomes tamei. Rebbe says, interestingly enough, so what have you done? Now what you've done is, bepashtus, you've defiled something that's kodesh. You may have also caused a monetary loss to the kohen or to someone else. But lamaisi, you haven't done, Reish Lakish says you get malchus for that. Rabbi Yochanan says, ino loke. Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't get malchus. Reish Lakish amar loke, b'chol kodesh l'siga. Reish Lakish says, you get malchus. Why? Because it's a mefarish pasuk. The pasuk says, you can't touch kodesh if you're tamei. Rabbi Yochanan omer, ino loke, hahu azharahu l'truma hudasa. Rabbi Yochanan says, b'chol kodesh l'siga, rabosai, is not the prohibition to touch kodesh. Rather, it's what? It's the prohibition, ultimately, to consume truma in a state of tuma. So we'll say, fundamental machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, do you get malchus for touching truma when you are tamei? Reish Lakish says yes. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Reish Lakish says yes. The pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo siga. Rabbi Yochanan says lo siga doesn't mean don't touch. Lo siga means what? Means what? Don't eat. Don't consume. Tamei shenaga b'kodesh. So Reish Lakish means, if a tamei person goes and eats kodesh, tamei touches on his kodesh, mida'af ki rachmana b'lashon negia, azhara lo'ochel iskish kodesh l'mikdash. Ultimately, again, we say that l'maisa, again, since the Torah went ahead and phrased it b'lashon negia, therefore, again, it compares, ultimately, again, to one who enters into the mikdash. V'akati l'achi udasa. But in one second, is this what it's coming to teach me? Homi boyle the tamei sha'acha basar kodesh lifnei zvikas damim. I need that pasuk to teach you about somebody who went ahead and ate sacrificial meat before what? Before the blood was sprinkled. Ditmar tamei sha'acha basar kodesh lifnei zvikas damim. Somebody goes ahead who is tamei, eats sacrificial meat before the blood was sprinkled. Reish Lakish amar loke. Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan amar ino loke. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. Reish Lakish amar loke. Bichal kodesh lo siga. Lo shna lifnei zvika v'lo shna la'achar zvika. Reish Lakish, the pasuk says, you shall not touch any kodesh, which now apparently Reish Lakish is saying is teaching me to learn what? Consumption. And it doesn't make a difference if I consume it before the sprinkling of the blood or after the sprinkling of the blood. Rabbi Yochanan amar ino loke. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. Why not? Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei da'amar tumaso tumaso. Da'amar kura, tumaso tumaso. Pasuk says tumaso tumaso. V'chi k'siv tumaso la'achar zvikuhu d'ch'siv. And the Rabbi Yochanan says, when the pasuk talks about the prohibition of a person who is tamei consuming sacrificial items, when is it referring to? After the sprinkling of the blood. Hahi, to which the Gemara says, one second. The prohibition of consuming sacrificial meat before the blood was sprinkled, mibechol kodesh nafka. I will say that's thrown out from the pasuk of kol kodesh. Tanya kavasei d'Reish Lakish. We have a brisa that supports Reish Lakish. Bechol kodesh lo siga. You cannot touch any kodesh. Ashar lo ochel. So we'll say this is the warning not to consume sacrificial meat in a state ultimately again of tuma. Ata omra ashar lo ochel. O eina el ashar lo nogeo. You say that it's a prohibition to consume. Maybe it's a prohibition ultimately again to touch. Talmud lomar bechol kodesh lo siga ve'la mikdash lo savo. Both of the Torah equates. Do not go ahead and touch any kodesh, and do not enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Makish kodesh lemikdash. Mam mikdash. Dever sheish bona tilas neshama. Just like Rabbi Osei entering into the Beis HaMikdash, we're referring to an entering that has with it a prohibition of kares, which Rabbi Osei refers to what? Someone who enters into the Beis HaMikdash knowingly, even though what? Their tame. There is going to be a prohibition of kares, or a punishment of kares. Af kol dever sheish bona tilas neshama. The imigya, the Rabbi said, therefore, again, what we're assuming is the juxtaposition says, v'chol kodesh lo tiga, v'al mikdash lo yavo. So just like al mikdash lo yavo is referring to an entry which has with it a chi of kares, which Rabbi said refers to someone who knows that he's tamei, but still enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tuma. Therefore, again, the v'chol kodesh lo siga must also be referring to a prohibition of kares. So the Gemara says, afkodav v'ibin igya, the Rabbi say, if you're going to tell me that b'chol kodesh lo siga means what? Touching kodesh. Mi'ika netilas neshama. Rabbi say, is there a prohibition of kares? If someone who is tamei simply what? Touches that which is tamei. Of course, excuse me. If someone who is tamei touches kodesh, and the answer to that, of course, is no. Ela b'achila. Rather, what do you see from Rabbi say? That the phrase or the prohibition, b'chol kodesh lo siga, does not actually mean that someone who is tamei may not touch kodesh. Rather, again, what does it mean? Bichal kodesh lo siga means a prohibition of consumption. And how do I know that? I know that through the juxtaposition of two, vela mikdash lo yavo. Just like vela mikdash lo yavo is talking about an entry that has it at the chi of kares, i.e. someone who is tamei, who knowingly enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tuma, so to bechol kodesh lo siga also refers to a prohibition of kares. What kind of prohibition of kares was it could we be speaking about? Can't be talking about touching, because touching doesn't have a prohibition of kares. Rather, it must mean what? Someone who is tamei and knowingly consumes kodesh products will be subject to the prohibition of kares. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with the rest of this conversation in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.